soul and body are different. Okay? So we have a soul which is wandering somewhere and we have a body which is lying on the floor? No. So, okay, the soul is within us. So what does the soul do? Okay.
These are not separate.
Right.
Not isolated.
So it is in one place in the body?
What happens, say, God to us, it is somewhere else.
Okay. And it just sits there. So like you are sitting in a room, you are sitting in this chair. So you are not connected with the rest of the room. I said you are sitting here in this chair, but you are not there in the rest of the room. Suppose this room is the body and you are the soul. So you are sitting in one place. So you have no connection with the rest of the people. Okay.
We are connected to you also. We are connected with each other.
Right. Right. Okay. Anybody else? Right. That's its function. But where is it? Pardon? Right. Okay. So whenever you do some action, the soul comes into play and rest of the time it's not there? Okay, let's complicate it further. Because you are IT professionals, so let's take it one level up. So what does the mind do? Where is the mind? Pardon? Mind is a part of the soul. So the soul functions through the mind. Right? Okay. All right. See, actually everything in this universe, as you know, is only energy. Soul is not the only energy. Matter also is energy. Matter is dense energy and soul is rarefied energy. The two combine together with each other in such a way that they make a particular system like a computer. You can't see the hardware and software as different. The software has to be a part of the hardware for it to function together. The software makes the hardware function through whatever is the software. If it is for video making, it's different. If it is for writing, then it is word. But whatever it is, it actually is combining as one. Now, when we say immune system of the soul, that means we are talking about one particular entity, in which for our own understanding, we have created different parts. What I'm going to do today is for the next about 45 to 50 minutes, we are going to talk about how the soul through the mind influences the body and how it can get influenced. What are the ways by which certain viruses come in the soul and what we can do to get rid of those viruses. You have antivirus programs. So what are the ways that we can do to get rid of those viruses? So as I was saying, how many of you feel that the body is there and now soul comes and sits there? Yes? Soul is the theater of the body, that's right. But the body is there and then soul just comes and says, okay, ab ye mera kaam ho gaya, main yahan pe jagah mil gayi, baith jaati hu. Pardon? Right. So, right. And where is, how does the body get created before that? Okay. And then after the soul comes in, the body goes on making itself? Right. So they are together now. And after that? After that the soul continues to do through the mind whatever it has to, and the body keeps growing by itself. Yeah? Have you seen a car driving itself? Now some cars are coming which are driving, but they are also being driven by a software. Matter cannot do anything on its own. It needs energy for it to be given a direction. And that's why we need to realize, and this is an important thing for us to realize, that soul, mind and body are just a continuum of energy in different forms. And soul actually is the one which gives the direction to the body to create itself. Have you ever wondered that every day we put in so much food, we take in so much air, we breathe out air, we eliminate through excretion, and over a period of time the body gets a direction that it keeps on working by itself. But who is giving that direction? That direction is being given by the soul. So if the soul is not powerful, the body's creation also will not be powerful. And that's why, while mind is a software that the soul runs to be able to influence the body, the soul has to be powerful enough, or its immune system has to be powerful enough, to be able to carry forward the body also. How many of you have heard of something called psychosomatic illnesses? Okay. Psychosomatic illnesses mean that psychological factors come out in the form of physical factors, and you have physical symptoms, but there is nothing wrong with the body. It is the psychological part which is deficient, and because of that the symptoms are there. One third of the people who have physical illnesses actually do not have any physical problem. They do not have any diagnosable things on blood tests, MRIs or whatever. When you start improving the functioning of the mind, the physical illness starts getting better. One third. And about half the illnesses are modifiable by the psychological factors. Now before I go on to the soul, I want to give you, those of you, how many of you here are IT professionals? Okay, good. So most of you would be knowing about the hardware and the software. So let's just first talk about the hardware. The hardware here is the brain. Brain is got the maximum cells which give the functioning of thinking, emoting, experiencing, perception, etc., etc., to the entire system. Now look at the powers that it has. In humans, it has the largest cortex to body ratio, which means human brain, for the amount of body that we have, is the largest. Elephant's brain, although it's much bigger in size, is not as big as human brain. In proportion of all the species, human brain has the largest volume. It's about 2.5 kilos and our weight is only about 60 to 70. It also takes on it something which is extremely, extremely powerful and thus takes on a lot of energy. It takes away 25% of all the glucose and oxygen that we consume in the body. The rest of the organs only take in about 75%. And human brain is only 2% of the human body. It also has about 100 billion cells. And each cell has about 10,000 connections. Do you have Facebook accounts, anybody? How many friends do you have? Maximum. 10,000 to nahi honge kisi. Each and every human brain cell has about 10,000 plus connections with all other cells. So it knows exactly what is happening in each and every part of the brain. They are all interconnected. And to give it cushioning, you have about 500 to 1,000 billion cells so that it is protected. It's in place. Look at the system that has been created because of the potential work that it has to do. And the signaling that happens doesn't happen directly. It happens through gaps. So it is like two of us are communicating, although we don't have to be next to each other. So there are big gaps between cells, and those cells, they jump each other and they create the signals. Human body has about 100 trillion cells, and each cell has about 10,000 connections. Each cell has about 10,000 reactions that are happening every second. Now that's the kind of intricacies that the human brain has. And I'm giving you these figures only for one thing. I don't know how many of you from Delhi or Bombay or Bangalore. Char gaadiyan ho, it's enough to cause a traffic jam from different directions. And here you have billions of things which are happening amongst each other inside the brain and the body, and still it goes on smoothly, fairly smoothly, except when we cause too much stress in the system. And when that stress happens, it gets confused. It doesn't know what to do with itself. And because of that, most of us would say, I'm confused. You're confused because either there are too many choices, or you're not able to think clearly, or you're not able to emote clearly, and because of that, you're not able to allow a proper orientation to any of the signaling that should be happening naturally. As we were just discussing that, what is matter, what is non-matter, everything here, including the chairs, is actually energy. Human body also is energy, and without the soul, it will have no direction. So the minute you die, at that point of time, the conscient energy goes out of the system. So when the consciousness is not there, it is the same matter. But this matter is not able to do anything because there is nothing to guide it. So that's why it's important to realize that each and every minute the mind is the one through the soul which is creating the body, number one. Number two, if you want to strengthen the soul, you can only work with your mind. Has anybody experienced soul? We actually experience it, but the experience is through the mind, through the thoughts that we have. through the emotions that we have. And then whatever choices we make out of that. And this entire system actually keeps on thinking itself. Any one of you, if you sit in silence, you will experience that there are continuous thoughts that are coming all the time. Every day, we produce about 50,000 thoughts. Every minute we produce 50 to 60 thoughts if you are very tense, 25 to 30 if you are fine, normal, or if you are extremely relaxed or maybe in meditation, then only 5 to 10. But 90% of all the thoughts are repeat of yesterday. Question is, are your thoughts interesting enough that even you want to think of it? You know, I work with patients, clients, and a lot of them say, ki, you know, it's a repetition of what I am thinking. I'm so disgusted with my thoughts that they are coming all the time. And it is important for us once in a while to see what is the quality of my thoughts. A lot of times it's just pure rubbish. A lot of time it is just repetitions, old patterns, repeating themselves. And unless the soul can reprogram itself, which we will talk about, how to reprogram yourself. Unless you can reprogram yourself, the same patterns keep getting again and again repeated. Now this is a definition that I thought would be useful for you. Of mind, minimal information naturally developed. Just to give you an example, if you are sitting in silence, let's say you are sitting on the top of a mountain, your hearing senses are so acute, and if there is silence all around you, that you can hear a truck which is going 10, 15, 20 kilometers away. And if you are there in the heart of a city, which is very, very busy, and there is too much of noise, then the second thing comes in, which is maximum information naturally declined. Which means we are able to cut off all the other sounds, and we are able to focus on somebody who is speaking to you. So the mind has a very vast range, infrared to ultraviolet. And that's true of almost all the senses, including one of the other senses which we don't have usually, and that's the sixth sense. Sixth sense refers to the emotions that we have, and like he said that you are connected to me, I don't know what he meant, but the fact of the matter is that you can be connected with people at distance. You can be connected with the emotions of another person just by looking at that person. I can look at you and know instinctively whether you are happy or not. And that is something that the human mind is able to pick. And that it does with certain faculties. You know, when you work, especially big companies, you have teams that are working on projects. So to work together, you have to have a good team. And over here, you have I-team. Before a thought arises, there is an intention. Hindi mein hum usko vritti bolte hain. Intention means, and this is at the level of consciousness. So before a thought arises, there is a certain ripple in the consciousness, and then a thought comes. Thought makes it clear for me. Intention is at the level of the soul, and the thought is at the level of the mind. So the soul, through its intention, then gives a thought. The thought produces an emotion. If the emotion is pleasant, we move forward. If it is not, we retract back. And once that happens, the thought is good, you want to carry forward, the emotion says yes, go ahead, then an action takes place. The action could be a speech, the action could be an action, as in terms of my bodily action. And once that happens, then the entire thing, including the intention, becomes a memory. And the memory then becomes something that keeps repeating itself. And then memory becomes a habit becomes a character, and character could be called a sanskar. We have basically these five types of thoughts. I'm not going to go into detail because I'm sure it would have already been covered. Okay. May I come to this side? Okay. Alright, so we have these five kinds. Basically, the first is something which is useless. It just keeps repeating itself. It has no meaning. It doesn't take us anywhere. The negative one is where the waste thought also has a connotation of fear, a connotation of something wrong happening. And then we have thoughts which must be happening every day, which is necessary. Unless we have necessary thoughts, we will not even get up and do anything. And then if it has a positive momentum, then that is something that gives us pleasure. Now the trick is to be able to change the waste and the negative into positive. That's the first step. Very difficult for a large number of people, but that doesn't stop here. The last stage is where you have elevated thoughts. And elevated thoughts are where you have the immune system of the soul being working perfectly, where it expresses itself for the person and the society at large. So elevated thoughts are the ones which bring about change to the entire humanity and change to the person themselves. It'll be a good idea once in a while for you to just sit, reflect and see what is the quality of your thoughts. Number one. Number two, to look at the quantity of your thoughts. Are they racing? Are they all jumbled up? Is there clarity? Are you able to give it gaps? And the third is the direction of the thoughts. Does it take you to a direction where you say, kuch bhi nahi kaam ho raha hai is country mein, everything is terrible, roads are terrible, politicians are terrible, my friends are terrible, my job sucks, my boss is terrible, etc., etc. Or you say, okay, we have certain challenges to overcome, and yet there are issues which can be managed. Can I move forward in that? So, looking at that quality will help you to start discerning. And that's one way of correcting the programming of the soul. Then it will help you to start correcting whatever is not right in the system. I'm sure in the classes that you had on spirituality, these three components would have been told to you, what is called as man, buddhi, sanskar, which basically are the three components of the mind which the soul takes charge of to be able to express itself. The mind, the critical thinking, or what is called as the intellect, and something called the sanskar, which is the repeated patterns, the personality patterns, once we start creating a memory. Is everybody with me till now? Am I saying some things which are difficult to understand? Alright. Okay, thank you. So earlier on we had the concept of intelligence quotient, which was that, are you good at creating something? And then came the concept. Incidentally, the intelligence quotient, how it is measured, is now being questioned. Because there are many kinds of intelligence. The intelligence tests that used to be there are basically for logical thinking. But what has been found is that there are many other kinds of intelligences. There could be musical intelligence, there could be kinesthetic intelligence, there could be spatial intelligence. So there are different ways in which we express ourselves. And then came the concept of EQ, that's emotional quotient, which means that you have great intelligence, but if you don't know how to channelize it, you will not get anywhere. And then the third concept came, which is the spiritual quotient, which meant that if you have the first and the second, but unless it is for a purpose, you will not feel good within and you will not be much useful to the society. So typically it says IQ gets you hired, EQ decides whether you continue in the job, and SQ decides whether you or the company are satisfied with each other. So how do we go about creating the spiritual mind management? Next few slides, I'm going to give you some of the patterns that the mind plays by itself. Incidentally, have you seen anybody do so many things? You know, if somebody was to ask for the job description in a company, and the company was to say that you have to do all these things together, you'll say no. No, thank you. I'll look for a simpler job. This is what the mind is doing all the time. It's appropriately handling the intelligence. Memory is getting stored. I'm aware of the time. I'm looking at the watch while I'm thinking and I'm speaking. Inside me, there is techniques that are going on which are making me heal myself, even if I have an illness at this point of time. And simultaneously, whatever I ate 3 hours back is being digested. When I'm sitting, or if I'm standing and walking, whatever is happening to my actions, that is being exercised. If I didn't sleep well, I wouldn't be standing here and talking to you. But micro sleeps may happen, by which I can manage to, maybe for a day or two, handle whatever is required of me. The bodily systems, I'm making urine, I'm creating excreta, all points of time. And this entire thing is happening through a system called biorhythms. What is my peak time of working? What is my low time of working? And there are systems within the body through the glands which are easily able to function. And all this is happening simultaneously. Along with this is happening my relationship management. Suppose I have some stress at the back of my mind. That stress also my mind is able to handle. Push it aside and say, half an hour later, this is more important. Subconscious mind says, it's maybe a little too hot. Can I ask somebody to put on the AC? The subconscious mind is telling me, hey, you need to help make the concepts clear to other people. Now those are subconscious desires that are there. They are there all the time. There is creative and literal thinking. How can I make it more interesting for you instead of just reading it? So all these things are happening simultaneously. Along with this is happening another thing, which is the process of what we call as self-actualization. Doing your best, doing your highest. The awareness of that, and a critical part of me is also saying, are you doing that, or how can you do it better? Now all that plus more, that most of us are here because you have a purpose of life. You are here because you want to learn about something. You are here because you want to give a direction to your life. And all that also is simultaneously going on. And this is happening 24/7, 365. Simultaneously. So each program that is there in our system is simultaneously being run at all points of time. That's the power of the mind that is there. Incidentally, the concept of health has been changing over a period of time. Because we are talking about the immune system of the soul. Immune system of the soul to be healthy, it's not that it shouldn't have virus. If it is virus, then it is ill. You remove the virus, even then it is not the best. Unless it can function to its highest ability, which in human beings is a sense of well-being. And not only in the physical sphere, but also the mental, social and spiritual spheres. And this incidentally is a complete definition of health as given by World Health Organization. So which means that if you are not ill, it doesn't mean you are healthy. Unless you have a positive sense of well-being, all points of time, at the physical level, at the mental level, at the social level, and at the spiritual level, you are not healthy. So how many of you sitting here, including me, are healthy at all points of time? One hand. Hey, great. This must be a very, very progressive group, because in most of the places I don't have even one hand raised up. And there's a reason. Okay. You are socially integrated. You have good connections with people around you. If there are relationship issues, you are able to handle them well. So those are the parameters. No. No. Not necessarily. Spiritual is, what is your connection with your highest self? What is your connection with God? If that is there, but you could be socially terrible, you could be a recluse and you are following spirituality. Many people do that. A lot of people go to jungles and they are following spiritual principles. So in all the areas, or at least there is a balance in all the areas, then only you are healthy. They are all interlinked. Because what's been found is that if you are spiritually healthy, then you will not have bhedbhav. You will not have me and you. It will all be seen as one, Vasudev Kutumbakam, as it is said. So from there your social relationships will also come in. You would also be cognizant of your own mind. You will also be cognizant of your own emotions. And because of that you will be able to handle that. And when that is happening, your body anyway would be healthy. So that's where the concept came in. We have divided it into different parameters, but they are all interconnected. What it is saying is, at all points of time, not only do we get rid of things that are causing problems in the system, but we go and try and achieve the maximum out of the system. So at all points of time, if you are doing that, then you are healthy. But there is another thing which is there in healthy, and that is, don't depend on doctors. Heal yourself. Because anyway we are healing ourselves. You know, even if you have a system like a computer or your cell phone, by and large those systems are also built in a way that minor problems here and there, they are able to correct themselves. There is a self-correction mode which is there. And there is a self-correction mode in the body all the time. There is a self-correction in the mind all the time. Only when it goes out of hand, or there is a big virus that comes in, do you go to a specialist. So similarly, the choice and the responsibility of healing yourself lies with you. Now, these are the viruses of the soul. I'm not saying anything new. these are the major viral categories, and then they have their own relatives, small children, uncle, aunties, lust in different forms, anger in different forms. You may not hit somebody, but in anger you may say certain things. You may not say certain things, but you feel it within you, or you become irritable, or you write one mail which has slant of saying something terrible to that person. You haven't said it, but you have meant it in a different way. And all these things express themselves differently every day. Now, these are the things which most of us may find it difficult to even find that they exist. And there are many reasons for that. Reasons are the patterns which contribute to soul's immune system. These are some of the things which run naturally in our mind. First, it tries and stores data holographically. All six senses, at all points of time. It tries to protect itself from previous hurts. You know, why do we keep thinking of a point where somebody has hurt us? Have you ever wondered? So let's say somebody said something terrible to you, and we keep thinking about that too. Much more if somebody gave me a compliment. The reason is that the mind is programmed to ensure that I don't get hurt myself again. So it tries to recall what hurt me in the past, and it tries to block that. Unfortunately, if you keep thinking too much about it, then you are already stuck in that pattern. So the trick is to become aware and then learn to move on from that hurt. The mind tries to project things into the future because it wants to control. It wants to control so that it doesn't get hurt. It wants to control because it wants to extract the maximum out of a particular situation. Nothing wrong with it. But let's say that you get so much stuck with it that all the time you are thinking about the possible scenarios of the future. Then you are not living in the present. So you lose the choice of being in the present, lose the choice of being happy in the moment, and just try to control only the future. Suppose there is a pattern which has been created. When you go out, you find some place, and if there is mud over there, you try and create a small line over there. If there is water around it, the water will flow out of that line, because there is a pattern, and that pattern gets repeated. To change that, you have to create another line which is deeper or maybe bigger, and then only the water will flow out of that line. So once programmed, unless we try to consciously change, it keeps running its old patterns repeatedly. Yes.
Can the mind think positive and negative at the same time, or quick changeover is possible?
Quick changeovers happen. Yes. Quick changeovers happen, like one thought is there, okay, everything would be fine in life. But the second thought is, but what if it is not? Till the time you become aware that what is each thought saying, and whether this thought is creating problems for you, and then you learn to remove it, delete it, zip it, or let go of it. So that's why you have to put in more energy. That's why you have to put in more energy. No, to be able to choose the thought that you want to choose. And unless you invest in it, it'll just keep running the old programs, which is what happens to a large number of us. You know, if let's say in childhood, and what we are finding is that the first 5 years is very important for children. because that's when new connections start getting made. So you have the amorphous mass, which is the brain, and new connections are now starting. Day one, you don't have 10,000 connections. So few start, and depending on the feedback that you get from the atmosphere, those connections are going to be made. So if you tell a child, you are very sweet, you are very loving, we are always with you, that is what the personality of the child would be in future. But if you don't, then either it will happen by default, or if you say nothing can happen to you, you are so and so, and you might as well not be there, etc., etc., which happens unfortunately many a times, whether in school or through friends or by parents also at times, then those patterns will keep repeating. I have clients who are extremely successful, and deep within they feel they are no good, because external reality is saying you are damn good, but inner pattern which they developed in childhood is saying you are no good because somebody told them so. So that's why it's extremely important for the initial years when we are creating the pattern in a child. The mind distorts itself to suit itself, the memories. You know, we often have a saying that if a husband-wife fight, we see many couples who fight. It's a reality outside this room. That's a fact of life. The number of divorces, the number of separations, the number of premarital problems that are there at this point of time. So we have often this saying that this is his story, her story, and the true story. And all three are different. Because you see things from your perception. And with your perception you say, no, this never happened. I didn't say it. But if you had a video recording, the person said it. They genuinely know, or at least believe, that they didn't say it. The mind suppressed itself because it wasn't something that they were comfortable with. The same thing happens that if there is any adversity, you feel victimized. Oh, it only happens to me. I don't know why everybody has a good time. I never get to. So these are things the mind is doing actually just to try and protect itself. And lastly, as I was saying, that mind has difficulty in letting go of painful memories. So these are some of the normal functionings of the mind. Would some of you agree that at least a part of it is there in all of us?
Yes.
If there in all of us, no big deal. I mean, that's the way things have evolved over a period of time. That's where we are as far as the computer of the mind is concerned. But it doesn't mean that we can't change it, because the subconscious mind is still there. You can change the programming of the mind. If you change your intentions, you can shape the future of your life. And now we are going to start talking about what are the different ways by which we can learn to change the future patterns of the mind. Today morning we were having a session. We were talking about how if you have previous patterns they can be changed, and the answer simply is yes. You know, have you wondered that mind has such extremely large possibilities, and it comes with certain softwares which we can't imagine? You live in South India, you speak Kannada. You live further south, you speak Tamil. If you go up north, yes, please.
Something
they
call brain plasticity.
Yeah.
That's the reason why
it gets changed. Right. You know, brain plasticity means the ability of the brain to change itself. So in simple terms, it means that whatever the patterns are, I learn about it and once I learn about it through my mind, I try and create new patterns. Actually, we are doing it all the time, subconsciously. But many a times we don't know the direction in which it is going. So if you do it in a conscious way, in a goal-directed behavior, you can change the neuroplasticity, which is what you are saying. So depending on where you live, your operating system works differently. It may work in Hindi, English. If you are born in Japan, then it will learn Japanese. Nobody is feeding that. In our operating system of the computer or of the cell phone, you have to feed in an operating system. Here it's all pre-planned. You want to become a teacher, there is a plan for that. You want to become an athlete, there is a plan for that. So that's neuroplasticity for you. Depending on the intentions and depending on the direction that the soul gives to the mind, it can pre-program and reprogram itself. I want you to just for about 15-20 seconds sit back and reflect. What are your predominant patterns of thought, emotions, actions and memories? You don't have to share it. It's just for you. You can do this exercise anytime, and I'll encourage that you do this as a reflection as much as you can. And please understand one thing. One of the other things the mind does is it wants to look good in its own eyes. So a thought will come and say, oh, I'm very lazy. But you'll say, it doesn't matter really, you know. You're having a good life. Or you say, I want to change my pattern of anger. He says, but other people are there who are actually bothering you so much, so you have to be angry. Whatever. So become aware of that tendency and then just see what are the things that you would like to change. And for that, we have a way of strengthening the body, mind and soul. Because if the soul is getting more and more empowered, then through the mind, the body also will have more and more ability to handle stresses. At this point of time, while we speak, we are running against time because the number of people who are depressed and the number of people who are depressed to an extent that they want to commit suicide is increasing every year. Tomorrow is World Suicide Prevention Day. In the world, every 40 seconds, one person loses their life because of suicide. In India, every 3 minutes, a person dies because of suicide. Every hour, we lose one student because of suicide. And these are completed suicides. The number of people who attempt it and it doesn't become successful, means they don't die, is 10 times more. And they live with it, and their families live with this disability and with this feeling for the rest of their lives. For every attempt, 6 more people who are close to that person are affected. 2020, depression is, some people say already, but 2020 for sure, as far as WHO is concerned, we are going to have the highest number of people suffering from depression all over the world. India is not going to be far behind. And believe me, and I say this from first-hand knowledge, is that we don't have enough doctors, so don't look to doctors for help. we can't help you beyond a certain point. Anywhere in the world, America has 15 times more psychiatrists than India has. But America is also calculated that they can only roughly cater to 15 to 20% of their population. The rest of the people, despite having illnesses, don't get help. Whether it's depression or it is anxiety or it's relationship issues or stress-related disorders. So you have to start working with yourself. It's like saying every computer sold by Mac will have one mechanic who will be there to help that person. Not possible. You got to look after your own computers. Yes. Okay. We are about 5,000 psychiatrists all over the country, and we require about 75,000 minimal. This is the Ministry of Health estimate.
Out of those 5,000, how many are in that category?
Which category?
The category
that we are discussing. Who themselves are? As much as the rest of the population, maybe more. Because I am dealing with pain. Every day, for 8 to 10 hours, I do nothing but listen to people's pain. It's not easy, I can tell you that. Yeah. So, that's why I'm saying, you take over. You take over your life. Everybody is. Spiritualists can also be affected. My sisters who are sitting here and are listening to people's stories, and I know from first hand, it's not easy for them. At least I have some medicines or I have some training. They are there only for doing good. It's not easy for them to listen to everybody's stories. But people come and share that. So everybody in the society needs to pool in at this point of time. And that's why conferences like this. So these are some of the strategies for managing the viruses of the soul. Get rid of toxic ingredients. Please get rid of excessive Facebook, excessive WhatsApp. I know what havoc it can create. It's there, it's a good technology, but if used well. Today, it's like anything else, but the power that it has in creating havoc in people's lives can be tremendous. Yeah. So we need to protect ourselves. If something is coming from the... You know, if somebody gives me something to eat and I don't like it, I can just say no. But somehow or the other with that, we find it difficult. So, for us and for those whom we care for, get rid of that. Exercise. One of the very important things. Because the exercise also creates blood flow. And that circulation goes all over the body, including the brain. And that is the only way the brain gets oxygen and carbon, glucose. Diet and weight management. If you have other physical illnesses, your brain can't be healthy. And if necessary, then going and talking to people about your issues. The social thing that we spoke about, there is an... I have no problems, but I think, sure.
Do you have any OTC medicine for measles to counter the initial disease so that person keeps going without going to the doctor, goes to the medical shop and buy and like fever, we have a Crocin?
You are not allowed to, or you should not be taking a Crocin on your own. Well, there is none, and wherever it has been misused to the core. By the people, by the chemists, and sometimes by physicians. So, I would say that in certain situations it's required, but when it is required, go to the best service center. I won't give my Mac to anybody to open. Now, these are adoption of certain attitudes, outlooks in life, interactions. Find people whom you are comfortable with. Find people who make you feel good. Not gossip, not create more problems in your life. Social networking, laughter, hope and purpose in life. These are two ingredients on which a lot of international work is now happening. Unconditional love, altruism. Prayer and meditative lifestyle are two things on which a lot of international work is happening. If time permits, I'm going to tell you about meditation in detail. But basically, it has been a $8 to $10 billion business every year in America. Now, Brahmakumaris don't charge. So how is it a business? Because there are many other organizations which do charge. There are teachers who teach and they charge in India and abroad. And the driving force actually are the firm, not the people themselves. It's the insurance companies. Because insurance companies found, I'm going to run out of time. So maybe we can talk later. So insurance companies found that the number of people who are meditating actually decreases the hospital rates, it decreases the amount of money being spent on their treatment, and it is a very good preventive technique. So because of that, they have been investing in this. There are many certified yoga teachers who are in the payrolls of these insurance companies because it makes sense for them to go for a cheaper option than hospitalization. Changing of these negative habits. So once you reflect and you say, okay, certain things are harming me, whether it is a thought pattern or it is a habit or it is certain attitudes or certain personality traits that have evolved over a period of time or the interaction of people, just learn one by one to get rid of that. These are five basic keywords. If you can remember, change your previous conditioning. Many a time the negative conditioning, sometimes through childhood that we have, it makes us feel that it is okay. But once you start realizing that that's a pattern which is creating a lot of difficulty in terms of your health or in terms of your outlook in life, make a definitive plan to get rid of it. Second, stressful self-talk. Suppress it. A lot of time deep within we are saying, I can't do this. I don't think I'm good enough. I don't think that this is worth it, etc., etc. That's a conditioning that has happened over a period of time. Learn to get rid of it. Irrational beliefs that we have about ourselves, about other people. Somebody who doesn't speak to me is not a nice person. Or if somebody has not given me a compliment, not worth talking to. Or if I have been pointed in certain way, then I don't think I need to work in that place, etc., etc. So these are some of the irrational beliefs which we acquire over a period of time. And similarly, we may have certain distortions in perception. I was talking to you about my story, your story and the true story. Become aware of it that other people may also have certain ways of looking at life, and yours also may be in a way distorted at times. Learn to get rid of it. But most importantly, alter your basic consciousness, which means jumping from one level of energy to another level of energy. And once you do that, then with that higher energy you can get rid of whatever viruses that have come into the immune system. In this, regularity, persistence, patience and right technique and guidance. I happened to come here in Brahmakumaris about 25 years back. I came here because I got invited like you did. And I came here and I had some life-changing experiences. I'm not going to go into that if you don't have the time. But after doing that, I said, let me try and find out scientifically if there is a background to it. So for about 6 months, I continued to go to the center that was nearby. I was lucky to find some teacher who was very patient with me, answered all the possible questions that she could. And I started to invest scientifically in learning about the whole process. And over a period of time, one learned that many of these things have a basis which has been there, which is ancient. It's just that over a period of time, we have forgotten about it. Incidentally, many of them are now coming back from the West in a scientific way. In my introduction, she was saying that I'm working with a group of the World Psychiatric Association on spirituality and mental health. We are trying to see how best various traditions and their belief systems could be brought in to improve the lives of people, physical and mental health. And we are finding that some of these things have extremely robust scientific basis. Personally, I feel that apart from that, it makes a whole lot of good sense to invest in it because it can positively change your mind. And with that, it can change your life. Alright? Okay. Now we are going to systematically look at how we can strengthen the immune system. In simple language, let's talk about the Rajyogi lifestyle. Rajyogi lifestyle talks about shifting in consciousness. Because as we started, we have the soul, mind and body, which is a continuum. And if soul is the highest power or is the most rarefied power, then if you change at that level, then all the changes that will happen will be much more powerful and long lasting. So the emphasis is on shifting the level at which we work. So we are no longer working only at the level of the body. And I'm using the word only. It doesn't mean that, you know, we don't look after the body. Because if your computer is lying in a place which has too much dust, which has no control as far as the power is concerned, or it is too hot, it's going to burn out. So the system will burn out, and if the system burns out, there is no software which will work after that. So looking after the hardware is equally important, but not get attached to the hardware. And once you start doing that, and you talk about self-awareness, in between we stopped once in a while to reflect. And the reflection can happen in what we call here as sakshi, which means you step back. It's like looking at somebody. It's like looking at a scenery. If you are sitting inside the scenery, you can't enjoy it. You have to step back to be able to see it well. The second is, don't get too attached. Because once you are too attached, then again you can't see it well. So you become an instrument. You are able to start looking at the whole thing in which you are offering yourself to change the system, but without any kind of attachment to the system. And this, once it is done in soul consciousness, which comes after practice for some time, then you are able to do it much better. Becoming aware of your thoughts, emotions, intentions and consequences of action. The word used here is Trikaldarshi, which means where it came from, what is it doing now, and where would it take me? So if I do an action which is detrimental to me or to others, the future it will create problem for me. If I am doing something because in the past I had a wrong programming and I am aware of it now, I can learn to change that. So becoming aware of all those and then changing it. So in elevated consciousness, there are four pillars that are spoken of. I'm sure most of you would have been given that knowledge in the morning classes. But first is knowledge. You know, for any subject that we take up, you have to have full knowledge of it. Otherwise, I mean, if you were to give me a computer and say, please correct it. I'll make a mess out of it. I know nothing about it. And I wouldn't advise you to start doing the same with medication, because it's the same. So having the right knowledge, and the knowledge of who am I, knowledge of why I'm here, knowledge of purpose of my being here, knowledge of where do I want to go, and knowledge of how can I get there. So for this, there are very powerful classes, so to say, or what is called as Murlis, which is full of knowledge on a day-to-day basis. What do I do in certain situations, etc., etc. So once having that knowledge, then you start imbibing it on a day-to-day basis. You know, you have done a course on computer management, but after that you never see a computer. It's of no use. So once you have had that knowledge, then you start putting that into practice for yourself. And to get the power of that, you sit in silence, you learn to meditate, you learn to increase your own pool of energy, and once that happens, then imbibing or bringing about a change is much easier. And let's say that today you have an orchard and you have so many apples that each tree gives you, and I'm friends with you. So would you share some with me? You have an apple orchard. Plenty of apples are coming. Grudgingly? Right. So when you have something in abundance, then in that abundance, you start sharing with others. And that is the seva or the service that you have seen. All the brothers and sisters, and I don't know whether any of you have wondered why they are just running around and doing things. They are not getting paid. Many of them don't even get complimented. And yet, they are there. They are there putting these things together. They are there. You go to the best of places and still you will not have the same way people will respond to. So once you have this in elevated consciousness, you become aware of everything that may be bothering your mind and may be bothering your soul, and becoming aware of that, you can learn to get rid of the viruses and start sensing the immune system of the soul. Thank you very much. Can we sit in silence for a minute and just reflect? In the last 3 days, what you have learned, what you have experienced, and what is it that you would like to change? Have a basic plan of action to be able to bring about that change. And look at all that you will receive in terms of health, peace, happiness, and improvement in your relationships. Stay with the thought, and every day plan to take it further.
Thank you, Dr. Avdesh Sharma ji. Very insightful indeed, and I'm sure this will help us in changing our connections and making new and positive ones. Thank you once again for an insightful session.